The Republican National Convention did officially open today, but just for a few minutes, to announce that all convention activities have been pushed back until Tuesday because of Tropical Storm Isaac. Protesters are blaming the storm and a massive police presence for a small turnout at the RNC in Tampa. Only about 200 protesters gathered for a rally in a lot near the arena where Republicans will be nominating Mitt Romney as their candidate for president. Organizers had expected 5,000. There was intermittent heavy rain and winds at 35 miles an hour. Protester Mick Kelly said the weather had curtailed turnout, but the organizing groups were going to carry on with a planned march later in the day. Kara Jennings said the massive police presence near the arena had scared away some of the demonstrators. The 60 organizing groups include labor unions, Students for a Democratic Society, Veterans for Peace, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Occupy Wall Street, and Code Pink. When the convention does get underway, commentator Playthell Benjamin predicts it will produce a torrent of bad ideas.
This week, the Grand Obstructionist Party will hold their quadrennial convention in Tampa, Florida, a glittering city on the Gulf of Mexico. Symbolically, it is a fitting venue because the ostentatious affluence of its downtown area, where the conventioners will frolic, mask the rotten underbelly of dark ghettos and redneck trailer parks that litter the landscape of Florida. It also camouflages a backward state government that passes laws like Stand Your Ground, which has created a Dodge City attitude where self-styled vigilantes gun down innocent children and are allowed to walk away without detention. And if you listen to the governor of the state, a political Neanderthal who adheres to a free market theology, which is about as factually based as astrology, all government need do to solve the unemployment crisis is scrap regulations on business and cut taxes to the rich, which is the economic plan that the Republicans pursued under Bush. This economic program is also adopted by the National Republican Party, which wrecked the economy. Hence, Florida is the perfect place for a convention of ignorant, gun-loving, hypocritical Christians and heartless plutocrats. We can rest assured that all the major themes of the convention will be based on lies and the promotion of mass ignorance, because this is the basic strategy of the Romney campaign. Of the three main themes of the Romney-Ryan campaign ads, which their talking points are based on, all are transparent lies, which raises a fundamental question. If President Obama's record is as bad as they say it is, why don't they just attack his record instead of manufacturing outrageous lies? The answer is simple. Barack Obama has a sterling record of accomplishment. Some are obvious to any fairly intelligent observer who has not been hiding in a cave fleeing the Bush horrors of the last 4 years. Among his accomplishments are saving the world financial system from collapse and preventing another Great Depression, rescuing the auto industry, the last vestige of the American manufacturing sector, providing millions of Americans with affordable health care, signing the Lilly Ledbetter Equal Pay Law, making it a crime to pay women less than men for comparable work, authorizing the daring raid that killed Osama bin Laden, instituting a rigorous regulatory regime for Wall Street, etc. But there are other outstanding accomplishments of which the public is largely unaware. Hence, the people are confused by the hysterical prattle emanating from the Twin Towers of Babel echoed on the far right and left of the American political spectrum, proclaiming the president's administration a failure. Fortunately, the earnest seeker of wisdom and truth need not rely on the ideologues and mindless fanatics for a final assessment of the Obama presidency. There are two serious seminal books that annihilate the preachment of misinformed ideologues: The New New Deal and It's Worse Than It Looks. The first book was written by the award-winning Time magazine reporter Michael Grunewald. It is a richly detailed account of the brilliant way President Obama's $800 billion stimulus was invested to create the basis for a new American economy, based on technological innovations like a green manufacturing sector, which can sustain the working class by providing a living wage and restore vertical mobility to a revitalized middle class. The second book is written by Dr. Norman Ornstein, the reigning authority on the United States Congress, and it details why the Congress has become immobilized by gridlock and is making it impossible for President Obama to implement many of his plans which could deal with the Depression. Orenstein contemptuously dismisses the argument that both parties are equally guilty and places the blame squarely on right-wing zealots in the Republican Party. Dr. Orenstein denounces the press for not making this distinction clear when discussing congressional gridlock, calling them unindicted co-conspirators with the Republicans and confusing the people. Orenstein's assessment is given added credibility by the fact that he's a resident scholar at the conservative, pro-Republican American Enterprise Institute. No left-wing hitman here. Armed with these seminal texts, it will be fairly easy to demonstrate that a vote for the Grand Obstructionist Party is a giant step backward. From New York City, this is Place L. Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.